So, I want to talk this morning on the problem of alignment. And that is a phrase you might only have heard recently in regards to artificial intelligence. So, there is a challenge with the way that technology is going at the moment, in that we are creating ever more powerful, ever more impressive tools. And that's something that we've done as humans all along. We are incredibly creative beings. And that is because you just have to look at who wrote the manual on us. We are made in the image of God, and God is the creator of the universe. So anything that we do is a reflection of, well, not everything we do, anything we are capable of is a reflection of what God is capable of, God has done, and ours is just a small measure of what he can do. But even still, what we can do is more impressive than I thought I'd see in my lifetime, to be honest. It's remarkable. And the pace that things are moving is incredible. But now we're running up against a problem with our technological advancement. That is the problem of alignment. And as I go through, I'll explain a bit more about that, where it's impacting us and what the problem is. Particularly, but let's go right back to the beginning. So this is where the first problem of alignment came into being. It was right back at the very beginning of human history. We were in the Garden of Eden, and there were only two of us. It was very straightforward. We were given one instruction, and anything else was fair game. So freedom at its utmost. We had control over our environment. We had freedom from safety, from anything threatening our safety. We had no fear. We had full confidence, and we could live out our perfect lives. Every morning in the Garden of Eden was perfect. And I think the closest thing we can feel to the Garden is of Eden and the conditions that humanity was in. The grown adults of Adam and Eve were in at that time was when we look at a toddler, a newborn, who's just received the thing that they want to receive. The joy lights up their faces, and they can go from instant tantrum into ultimate joy instantly, the flick of a switch. And that release of joy and being able to operate at that level all the time was what the Garden of Eden was like. It was hitting all our buttons. It was just perfection. And we had one rule that was very simple. There's no way we were ever going to do that. And that was not to go near the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just, stay away from that and you'll be fine. You can do anything else that you want. And that sounds like a really easy life, doesn't it? And yet somehow humanity messed it up. The one rule we managed to break very quickly. Now, of course, there was a serpent involved, the deceiver. And he came in, worked on Eve first, and Eve had a lot of influence over Adam, and Adam was very weak and failed very easily. So there's a combination of factors in that, again, if we are putting ourselves in the position of Adam and Eve, chances are we might have made the same mistake. I certainly know in my life, I've sinned many times, continue to do so. It's a very easy thing to do. So when we look at this text, we have to actually think back, realize our place in it, and realize what we've lost and what we have regained through relationship with Jesus. So you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And so from that point on, humanity was on a path to destruction. We were going to die. When the woman saw the fruit was good and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And that's an interesting point. All desirable for gaining wisdom. So the quest and the desire in that fruit was actually for wisdom beyond that which we've been given, that which we've been entrusted with. And it put us into a place of risk and responsibility, for being responsible for our own future, our own decision-making, our own consequences. And that wisdom was not something intended for us, but we have it now. And so we are responsible for the decisions we make, and we have to result. We have to abide by the consequences and live with them. And from the New Testament, we all know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not exclusive to Adam and Eve. We all are participants in that. So fast forward a little bit. God separated us from the Garden of Eden. He made sure that we didn't eat from the tree of life, because if we'd eaten from the tree of life, then we'd have lived forever in that position of having all the wisdom or all the knowledge, all the responsibility, and no path to redemption. And that's not a place where any of us want to be. We want to have a savior come along and free us from the sinful world that we're living in. So this picture, this painting is it's a representation of the Tower of Babel. And the one instruction that was given to man after we'd had one reset already, the flood was sent on the earth to wipe the evil from the planet. And there was only one good family that was rescued. And so that one family was given one instruction, which was to go forth, fill the earth, multiply, spread out. And that was given to Noah as he got off the ark. But unfortunately, what man decided to do was to gather together, build a city, and in that city, they built a tower. And within that tower, they came to the conclusion that they were the best thing that had ever existed. And let's read from Genesis 11. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This is God saying nothing will be impossible for humanity. Come, let's go down and confuse our language. And, you know, you might have thought of this before as maybe a story, an allegory, but this is an important crux point in our human history. I believe that if our languages hadn't been confused at this point in time, then we would have wiped ourselves out long ago, before this. And I think that actually language is the final barrier between now and the end of times. We were hearing a lot about signs of the end of the age over this last weekend. And it's very true. And I think that within that whole picture, language is actually the thing that will free us up, or free the planet up for the return of Jesus Christ. And we are very close now to having zero language barriers. It's getting remarkable, because that language confusion was so important because it forced humanity to then spread out. And I believe it was, you know, even within that city, suddenly the men woke up and were speaking in completely different languages. They had no means of communicating with each other, family to family. And it stopped the construction. I mean, we've seen how a simple hack into one of the largest manufacturers in the country, Spected Ivor in particular, has absolutely destroyed the industry of, you know, I don't know how many cars they produce per month, but it's a lot. And they've wiped out that industry and everybody related to it, and all the supply chains related to Jaguar manufacturing have been put on pause for 3 months now, is it? £1.9 billion lost. And that was done by just confusing the methods that humans were storing information. So it left us with no access to that history of how we were working within JLR, and suddenly everything stopped. And we've lost £1.9 billion and so many supplies. And it's going to have a knock-on effect for months and months and months in all the suppliers to the car industry and so on and so forth. Just incredible. And that's from one human, or you know, one very clever individual probably, writing a bit of software, getting it injected into the computer systems at JLR and wiping out that thing. And, you know, that was on a, you know, a single industry, one set of data lost. You imagine in the Tower of Babel in that city, every bit of data store, every shared history, everything was spoken about. When you were raised, you were taught the stories of the past. You were told about Noah and about the Garden of Eden. And that's how we've got the stories today. But all of that would have been lost. Everything would have been fused. It would have been isolated to individual families. And so from that, it's like you don't know who you can talk to anymore. You only know the people who have the same language. It's probably just your direct family. And so it was forced, that spreading out to the world was forced on humanity. And that was, again, part of God's plan to fill the earth. And so we can see from this diagram, I'll do it without squealing, we've got all the arrows. Effectively, if you follow them back, they come back to focus in on the Middle East. And they're all spreading out from the Middle East. So this actually was probably where the Tower of Babel was, within the Middle East. And from there, there were actually land bridges, because we'd had the floods, the oceans were lower. So the land bridges across to every bit of land in the world. And so people would walk, migrate across these land bridges, depending on whether there was frozen lakes and things like that, they would cross land bridges as well, and reach out into the whole planet. And that was only possible because we were confused and we had no language to stay in city and build our toys. So now we're spread out. God has confused the languages, and this slide was just to remind us that actually in all of this, all of that creativity that the man was doing in the Tower of Babel in that city was because we were made in the image of God. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. So we are imbued with that creative power, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's in us. We are creative beings. And so, you know, often you can feel that, you know, we're on a path to destruction. And so participating in technological development and the, you know, the works of our hands, our daily lives, actually could be causing more damage than good, because we're advancing things along a path to destruction. But that's not how I believe we should look at things at all. We've got to not let ourselves be trapped in nihilism, which is believing that everything is coming to, leading to death. We've got to participate in optimism, because the rescue plan that God put in place was only possible by that confusion of the languages to slow things down. But it can only come about through the timelines and the prophecies that God laid out, part of which was the return of Jesus Christ, the commissioning of the disciples, the spread of the gospel, again, from the Middle East out across the whole of humanity. All people groups around the world have to hear the good news, have to have access to the gospel before the return of Jesus. And so this, you know, fear that we're progressing technology too fast and we're going to destroy ourselves is a valid one, but we can rest assured that God's got it. He's got a plan in place. We don't have to worry about the work of our hands destroying the world. I mean, we moved very quickly in the last few hundred years. The development of the printing press and the first book that was produced on the printing press was the Gutenberg Bible. So instantly, technology is being used actually for something very good. The Gutenberg Bible was able to get the gospel out to more people than ever been possible before. The knowledge and the stored, the oral tradition, the written text suddenly was, instead of being only passed along verbally, was being able to pass en masse in printed Bibles. And so that was a good thing. And again, we wouldn't have had the rapid spread of the Bible without that technological development of the printing press. Then we had the telegraph, and we had people going doo 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 across the world. Then we had the telephone, and it was like, I love the sound of the dial-up modem. It's like a nostalgia thing. It's like the most exciting sound. And all this kids won't know what I'm talking about. But I'm sure most people in here do. This is an exciting sound for me. Yeah. And we can't feel, you know, we can't deny our nature. We're excited by technological development. I am in particular. Because that released me into being able to play games with my friends and released me into being able to access knowledge and learning that I wasn't being able to get in school. It freed things up incredibly. And the internet, the rise of the internet, and the store of our global information, our shared knowledge base now is the internet. And we were hearing how there's nothing that's possible in the physical world now without the internet. And that's kind of true if you think about it. We're isolated into tiny, small working groups again without the internet. If the internet was wiped out, how many industries would be affected? I can't think of one that wouldn't be, you know. It's just incredible. Maybe brick making, perhaps. But even their supply chains would all be messed up. So the internet's crucial. And if that goes, then it's a massive confusion. And it would be the same thing, again, going back to the language. If you confuse language, it would be as big as confusing internet today. We'd have to reset. Everything would start again. But we've had the time. We've been spread out. And we are accumulating knowledge, we're accumulating expertise. And this is ultimately coming to create an artificial intelligence. And you'll hear lots of things about that. And you may have lots of different opinions about it. But it is on the rise. And we're going to hypothesize about it. You know, I've got a potential theory that it could be the Antichrist that's being talked about in the Bible. It could be an AI rather than an actual individual. It's got all the potential for it. But I don't know. We don't know for sure, but, you know, God's got it. That's what I do know. And one thing I particularly noticed is that just as man was made in the image of God, and we had that potential, that creative power, we had that free will to be making our own decisions and to cause our own problems, we are now making AI in our image. And this is where the problem of alignment comes up. Because when God created man, we were in perfect alignment with God. So we were in harmony. We were walking in lockstep. Everything we did was with full knowledge of God, and God had full knowledge of us. And as soon as that knowledge of good and evil came into us, the first thing that Adam and Eve felt was guilt and shame, and they clothed themselves and they hid in the garden, and God had to come looking. And that would have been the first time God had to look for Adam and Eve ever. And that's because they'd become misaligned. They weren't in lockstep anymore. That relationship had been fractured and broken. There was no communion. There was no equal footing. There was confusion, fear, mistrust, and that's what resulted. And so as we build AI, we are building AI from a misaligned position with God. So where we are now is that we're creating something, and you'll hear it on the news. We don't know what we're creating. Even the techno geeks who are right at the crux of this industry are building something that they don't really understand how it works, which is absolutely remarkable. I don't think we've ever done something and it's taken us this long to figure out, you know, exactly how it works. So bit of a deep dive because I'm a techie. The way an artificial intelligence works at the moment, as we understand it, is that we gather together a whole load of data, training information. And at the moment, that training information is the internet. So we're giving access to a bit of software, the whole content on the internet. Everything is in text or in pictures or in video. And all of this can actually be read and interpreted and broken out into language, broken out into understandable meaning. And so we're giving this big pool of data to a bit of software. And that bit of software is analyzing all that data, and it is looking for patterns within the data. Go on. So a corpus is like curriculum, or if you are studying a particular topic, then you would have, if you're studying biology, you'd get to your textbooks, and that would be your corpus. It would be the information you've got. So an LLM, I shouldn't say that first probably. An LLM is a large language model, and that's the bit of software that is being developed. And so a large language, and again, the word is right in the middle of that, language. That's the crux of it all. It says a large language model. So it's gathering all this text, and within that text, it is looking for patterns. And what it learns to do is to predict what the next word will be when asked a particular question. So if you ask a question to the AI, it will say, okay, this is the question. This is how the words are ordered in the question. Let me now look at all the texts I've been given and analyze and find out where these words have been used, what the answers to questions in the past have been, what the patterns, what the order those words have appeared in, and it will guess what the next word will be as it's writing out the answer. So it's got actually no awareness of what it is writing. It just knows the most likely next word, which is absolutely baffling, because when you use an AI and you talk to it, it sounds as intelligent as anybody in this room. It's absolutely remarkable. It can answer questions in depth, far greater depth than I can answer, on all the topics in the world. It's an incredible piece of technology. And again, it is using our learning, our understanding, our written interpretation of the world around us. It's gathering all that, and it's giving us the most likely next word in answer to any question that we ask of it. And it appears intelligent, but it is mimicking reasoning without actually understanding what it's doing. That's where we're at the moment. Now, if you're looking at it from a projection perspective, you can see how fast we went from the printing press to large language models. It's been an absolutely astronomical rate, and it's getting faster and faster and faster. So you might have seen a video of Will Smith eating a bowl of spaghetti. Has anyone seen that video? It was from a couple of years ago. And the first video, it was an artificial intelligently generated video that was trying to guess what a human or Will Smith would look like eating a bowl of spaghetti. And it was Will Smith. You could tell it was Will Smith, but his arms were a bit too long, and he was spooning spaghetti into his mouth, and the spaghetti was all falling out, and his eye went a bit wonky halfway through, and it didn't look very convincing at all. Fast forward to this year, you search for Will Smith eating spaghetti created by an AI, and you'll get a very convincing video of Will Smith eating a bowl of spaghetti. As far as I know, Will Smith has never been filmed eating a bowl of spaghetti, but it's on the internet now, and it's very convincing, and it's artificial intelligence. And it's getting very, very difficult to spot what's fake and what's real anymore. It was like from 2021, I think I'd seen that first video, to now. So that's, you know, a short space of time in the period of human history. You know. 2023, so even later, just 2 years, we've gone from being completely, you know, a joke of a video to being, oh, actually, I can't really tell anymore. And I'm fooled now. I'm fooled by artificial videos quite regularly. And I always thought I'd be able to spot them, because I worked in computer graphics. I understand vision and compute and what's likely. And this is where, you know, I miss talking about all the different types of intelligence. But you know what you're good at and what you're not good at. And within intelligence, there is straightforward intelligence, what we call intelligence. And you might have an IQ test to see how intelligent you are. And that's how good you are at solving puzzles and things like that. But then that doesn't have a lot to do with wit. People who are witty can be really sharp-minded, can respond incredibly rapidly and think of the funny thing to say right at the right moment, right at the right time. And there are some very intelligent people who are really not very witty. And then you have people who can understand situations really well. They can interpret what's going on. They can feel what's happening. People who are very tactile. I mean, Jill's like this. She can sense what's going on in a room as she walks into it, I think. And that's an intelligence that's not covered in our typical things. And so all these levels of intelligence are part and parcel of the human condition, and they're all reflections of God. And we're not seeing these in AI as of yet, but it is getting better. You can have songs now written by AI that are really, really good. So one of the things and this is all stuff, fun stuff for you to go and Google when you get home. You can search up what your favorite, let's take a rock or a rap song that you like, and search for it in the style of a rockabilly band or a soul band or something. And you'll have AI-generated versions of these songs that are written in totally different music genres that are actually very convincingly sounding like bands in other genres. And they're really good songs. Like, it's stuff you would listen to and not notice the difference. It's really incredibly deceptive. And this is all coming now. And it's happening faster and faster and faster. So we are on this path to creating something. We don't really know how it's working, but it is able to convince us extremely easily on all different things. So our being able to understand and be confident in what we're seeing and understanding anymore is diminishing. And the crux of all this technological development, I believe, is to remove the language barriers human to human. Now, even in this service, we're having what I'm saying being translated into Chinese so that Charles and Camilla can understand a little bit of what's going on in the service. And now it's clunky and awkward and we can't converse. But the technology actually already is real-time translation happening, and it's coming to, you know, our devices that we carry on us already faster and faster, and it's getting better and better. So. Where is it? I did have a slide on this. Maybe I didn't put it in. Okay. But yeah, there's a... I think the iPhone 16 comes with it built in. Google's Gemini, the latest version, has got it built in as well. You can just put in an earbud, have your phone listening. It will hear what's being said to it, and you'll hear, you know, in any language, and it'll hear it in English in your ear. And you can speak it back, and it does the same thing back the same way, and it's real time. So suddenly, and that's a little awkward at the moment because we've got to have a device for this, we've got to have access to the internet, and we've got to have, you know, all this infrastructure around us. But the technology, and again, with that large language model, these things are remarkable because they've taken the entire internet and they compress it down into a few hundred megabytes of data. And so that large language model is actually all you need to be able to get an answer that's more convincing than a lot of scientists around the world on any topic. And it sits in a few hundred megabytes data, which is small enough to sit on a phone now. So you could take a phone, detach it from the internet, have it with no other external access to data, and it will be able to answer you like a seasoned professor or a seasoned scientist on any topic around the world, which is incredibly powerful in terms of human development. But also, I believe actually what it's trying to get to the point is where language as a barrier is removed from humanity. We can relate to each other one-to-one anywhere around the world. And instead of now gathering in a city to build a tower, we will be having the whole planet gathering together to build our next tower to defy our requirement, our need for God. Whether that is, actually, we don't even need the planet Earth anymore. We're going to go to Mars. We're going to terraform. We're going to spread out into the universe. All these are in the plans of the globals and the elite, and it's happening faster and faster. So with the language barriers removed, where do we sit as humanity? Has anything changed really from now compared to what it was 4,000, 6,000 years ago in the Tower of Babel? Have we become less rebellious as a species? think the honest answer is no, we're pretty unruly still. Have we become less arrogant in that time? No, pretty arrogant. And, you know, have we stopped seeking to displace God, or have we gone back to that position again? And I think for a lot of the world, we are not looking to displace God now, which is something that wasn't true then. Everybody was looking to displace God in the tower, in that city. Now we've got the good news. Now we've had Jesus come back. Now we've got access to the Bible. We've got all these great teachings. And there's a lot of humanity that has learnt already, okay, actually, we do need God. We can't exist. And there's a lot of people discovering it at faster rates at a younger age as well. And there are really encouraging figures on the next generation in these developed nations who have got all this access to the technology, who are feeling disenfranchised, disenchanted with it, and going back to the root of relationship with God, with Jesus. So we can be encouraged by that. But we know that there's a lot of the world that are still seeking to displace God. If they acknowledge him at all, then they want to eradicate the need for him. And so this is, again, still on that path to death, which was given to us by eating that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's all in God's hands. It's all in place. There's a plan, and it's falling into place. We are becoming realigned. So man was made in God's image, and we fell into misalignment. AI at the moment is purely made in man's image, and it's inherited all our misalignment. In Romans 5:12, it says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And that was the same position for every man born through all of history until Jesus came along. Now Jesus is here. We have access to redemption. So the alignment issue is the biggest problem for world leaders and tech giants around the world. They're afraid that what they're creating is something that's going to turn around and kill them. They recognize that. So Elon Musk has famously said that there's a hope. His hope is that the best outcome of this artificial intelligent track that we're on is that it will look on us like we look on our pets. We will be so much more intelligent than our cat, but we let the cat in and we feed it and we pet it and we get something from it. So Elon Musk is hoping that that's our relationship with AI ultimately, at least, that it appreciates us being around, it looks after us and keeps us happy. And Elon Musk is an incredibly intelligent person. He's got access to more resources than anybody else in the world. He's the guy that's looking to... Yeah, so his agenda is to escape the planet. He thinks we're on a path to destruction. Our rescue plan is to spread onto other planets, go to Mars and terraform that, and we'll escape death in the universe by keeping on running away from our problems. But that's not the case. Now, the only good thing I've heard about Elon Musk and his perspective on life is that he is pro-human and not pro-machine, whereas there are several other leaders in the world who are pro-machine and not pro-human. Go on, Hugo.
And you remember that time that he destroyed the BBC interview and had a relationship with Donald Trump?
Yeah, he's in highest seat of power, talking to Donald Trump, being in the White House. He's one of the wealthiest, not the wealthiest in the world. Certainly had the biggest impact in our modern society. Incredible person. But at least he's pro-human. If you look at Larry and Sergey, who run Google, invented Google, they're actually pro-machine. And how many of us use Google and Google's products? This presentation was built on Google's technology. And this is all stuff that's being funded and and growing the wealth of the tech elites who actually don't even necessarily have our survival in mind. They're looking to make their deal with artificial intelligence and escape humans' condition. You know, they want to. So Elon Musk is working on Neuralink, which will allow people to map their brains and be able to communicate. Elon Musk says he's doing it so that we can compete with the machine, that we can interact with each other. We can remove that language barrier, but then also remove the delay that we have between spoken word. So I speak and you understand. Instead of that, I will imagine and you will see my imaginings. That's what a little must vision is as well. So he thinks that's the only way we can possibly keep, you know, pace with the development growth of AI. But again, it's a futile race. This is coming to an end as God told us it would and said, you know, don't eat that tree of knowledge and good evil because this is the right path to destruction. And that's what's still happening. And unless you acknowledge that, unless you think, I need to give up my pursuit of rescuing myself and give all to God, give all to, lay it all at the feet of Jesus, then you will continue to struggle with it. So, where do we get our alignment back? Where do we solve this problem of alignment? It is at the foot of the cross. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Reconciliation is about realigning. It's about getting back into lockstep with our Creator. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. And this is the problem of alignment solved right here. If we can get people to understand, they don't need to fear the future, they don't need to fear the AI, if they've got Christ at the center of it all, then they will be released into that childlike state of joy and laughter and appreciation at the good things in life. And as we go and minister, we can't go out with a depressed, end of the world type mindset. We've got to go bringing hope and light to the world. We've got to be able to give them the good news of the gospel, not the bad news of the end of the world, the good news of the gospel. That's the sales point, not the death and destruction. And this is Jesus' plan. This is God's plan all along. Bring Jesus, rescue us from our own, path to destruction, and we can have that life back in lockstep with God. And it's exciting. It's going to be a glorious future. So, all that was done in particular, spoken about over the weekend. And I don't think they had enough time really to go into the positive side of things. But hopefully that's touched a little bit on it for you now. If we go out into the world on mission, whether that's in our workplaces, in our families, in the city, in the nation, or out in other nations, we've got to take the good news of the gospel. And we've got to take the hope and the light that we've understood from the Bible that's been written for us. The good news is there. And as you think about the problems of the problem of alignment, as it comes up in conversation, which will happen with you, for you, I'm sure, from now on, be ready with that answer. It's like, we're not improving human situation very rapidly. We're rapidly improving the ways to kill ourselves faster and to give people, the few people, more and more control. I mean, that was an incredible stat. I think it's like we've gone from hundreds being in the top richest in the world, owning more than the rest of the world, to now it's down to eight. The top eight people in the world own more than 99% of the world, which is just remarkable, that accumulation of wealth. The Labour Party is not helping the situation. And it's the globalist agenda as well, to bring us all back into this one pursuit of wealth. And all that is doing is flowing the money upwards, up into the top reaches, and not resourcing anybody who's actually, you know, living their lives. And we, in this country, are wealthier than, 95% of the world. We have it really easy here. Even the struggles that we're suffering, everything's contextual, of course, but we've got it so much better off than a lot of the world. So let's not live in fear. Let's be bold in the sharing of our faith, because this is the good news that will bring people out of bondage to destruction and into alignment with God. And it's the best place to be.